Today, to hear our second shiur from Mrs. Shani Tarragon, who will speak on the topic of city mouse, country mouse, tefillah, and rain dance. Mrs. Tarragon completed a BA and an MA in Tanakh and Talmud at Bar-Ilan University. She's currently pursuing her PhD in Tanakh while serving as a coordinator of the Intensive Tanakh Track, ITT, at Midrashet Lindenbaum and teaching at Matan and Nishmat. One of the first graduates of Nishmat's program for certification as a halachic advisor in issues of Taharat HaMishpacha, Mrs. Tarragon serves on the first women's hotline to deal with halachic issues. Mrs. Tarragon.
Good morning, Shavuot Tov. It's always a pleasure to come here and see new faces, old Talmidot, current Talmidot, and Bezrat Hashem, even some future ones. We're going to explore this morning the story of Honi HaMa'agil, trying to understand, both as you see through the Makorot, the ideas of tefillah and rain dance, how they were accepted during the time of Tkufat Bayit Sheni, of the Second Commonwealth, and how we're meant to incorporate the ideas that we're going to find in the Gemara for our own incorporation, our own sense of Avodat Hashem today. So before we explore the ideas of even the city mouse and country mouse, just to give a basic background to the context of the Masechet that you see before you, Masechet Ta'anit. We know that as part of Mo'ed, we have a cycle of the year. And very soon, within about 3 weeks' time, we're going to begin, even here in Chutz La'aretz, to recite what we call Bakashat HaKshamim, V'tein Tal U'matar L'Bracha, in the context of Shmona Asrei, in the Brachot HaShanim. In Eretz Yisrael, we already started this, and soon after Sukkot. And this is now the time, as we look outside, where we not only mention what's called Gvurot Geshamim, the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to provide for rain during the year, as we recite Mashif HaRuach U'morid HaGashem, but we begin to ask for rains in Eretz Yisrael. We begin to seek after the agriculture, but we know that rains in Eretz Yisrael are not merely an expression, not merely a manifestation of Hashem providing for us in terms of our livelihood, in terms of our day-to-day means, and as much as an expression of a relationship between the Shekhinah, between Hashem and Am Yisrael, that comes through the rains themselves. And therefore, Chazal tell us throughout the year that if the rains don't come, then something is definitely wrong. Something is wrong with regard to our relationship between Am Yisrael and Hashem. And therefore, step number one, during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, karbanot would be offered. Firstly, brought by the Kohanim, and ultimately, karbanot shlamim, brought by the entire Tzibur. But we know that as the time period of the second Beit HaMikdash progresses, together with the institution of Tfilah, of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, we find that there's also going to be the theme, the idea of a ta'anit, that one is also going to fast. There are ways through our own actions of somehow catalyzing the process of rain. And we know that a fast isn't just about burning calories, and as much as internalizing messages, and as much as trying lefashvesh b'maaseinu to improve our ways, and thereby turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, okay, now we're ready for the rain. As a matter of fact, the three stages with which we begin Masechet Ta'anit and the Mishnayot, Hechel m'Shevaasar b'Mar Cheshvan, we begin with Shevaasar Mar Cheshvan, Yud Zayin Mar Cheshvan, as we know, wherein this is the time that the rain should begin. And if they don't come, then Yechidei Skula, certain members of Am Yisrael are going to fast. We begin with the Tzadikim during the time of the second Beit HaMikdash. This obviously meant the representatives of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the leaders of the Sanhedrin, who would take upon themselves in an alternating fashion to fast generally Mondays and Thursdays. But if that doesn't work, then there are going to be Shlosh Esrei Taniyot HaNigzarot Al HaTzibur Hechel Meirosh Chodesh Kislev. If by Rosh Chodesh Kislev, which we know agriculturally in Eretz Yisrael, is the time that's needed for the crops to begin their moisturization process. And if the rain doesn't come by Rosh Chodesh Kislev, then the first of the crops definitely will not grow. And therefore, there was a series of intensive taniyot, of intensive fasts that were incorporated in order to ensure that the rains would come. If by Rosh Chodesh Kislev the rains still aren't coming, if after these fasts the rains don't come, then we know firstly, till today in Eretz Yisrael, for those who remember, even 3 and 4 years ago, it was officially declared a year of Batzoret, and the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael said everyone go to the Kotel on Rosh Chodesh Kislev, all the yeshivot, the midrashot attended, there was a fast day declared, in order to bring the rains, we still do this till today. And then afterwards, if after all these fasts, lo ne'enu, we still weren't answered, there still is insufficient rainfall, then, at Sof Nisan, If the rains don't come in sufficient quantity by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, again, Chozrot Taniyot HaYichidim, the fast of the individuals in a very intensive manner are going to commence. They're going to start once again, in the sense that now we choose specific people to fast on behalf of Am Yisrael. Because if rains don't come by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, this is the last opportunity for the vegetation under the ground to be provided with the moisture. If it doesn't come then it's too late. After that, we know rains after Pesach are considered Gishmei Klala. They're no longer Gishmei Bracha, because at that point, the vegetation is going to start to rise. Whatever rains come will generally destroy the crop. In this context, then, we turn to this famous sugya of Choni HaMa'agil. Ma'aseh Sheshalchu L'Choni HaMa'agil. The sugya begins in a very interesting manner within the context of Hilchot Ta'anit, telling us that, of course, everyone would fast. This is the rubric, this is the infrastructure that we deal with in the halachic context. We fast, we daven, we are going to incorporate a basic way established by Chazal to appeal to Hashem for the rain. But the rains aren't coming. And now a story is told of those who sent a message to Choni HaMa'agil. Note that, generally, throughout the Talmud, throughout the Gemara, when a message is sent, and we're going to see this through the continuation of the Gemara, when a message is sent, it's usually sent through the representative of the Sanhedrin, namely the Nasi. The Nasi is the one to deal with all external affairs. Anything that goes from the Sanhedrin outside, whether it be for international reasons, whether it be for reasons even within the domestic affairs of the country, the Nasi is responsible. The Nasi at the time we're going to hear is none other than Shimon ben Shetach, the brother of the leader at that time of Shlomtzion Hamalka. And yet, instead of the Lashon Yachid, instead of the singular term incorporated here of Shalach HaNasi L'choni HaMa'agil, we find that this seems to have been the agreement of the populace. This is going to be a grassroots initiative taken by the people themselves, Shalchu L'choni HaMa'agil. The people are going to send a message to Choni. We're going to soon see that perhaps Shimon ben Shetach isn't even behind this initiative. Who is this Choni HaMa'agil? Many of us may know him already from the stories that we tell our children at a very young age, from Koasu Chachamenu. Choni HaMa'agil, who I always remember actually, is Choni HaMa'agal, right? The one who made the Ma'agal, the one who made the circle. And indeed, Rashi says he's called HaMa'agil. We learn this from Menachot of Tzadidalid Amud Bet, Da'agil Lahen Ma'agal. Because we're going to see from the continuation of the story that he fashioned for the people around him a ma'agal, a circle. And sure enough, he says, ma'agal tzikarla. Ma'agal is a circle. In French, de karinan choni hama'agel al shem uga. Choni is going to encircle himself with 360 degrees of a circle, and as such, he's called choni hama'agel, the one who fashions circles. However, this seems to be a little strange. Firstly, there are others, as we're going to see within the sugya itself, there are others whom Chazal associate with drawing circles, with creating circles. A famous midrash in Avot Rabbi Natan, Moshe ag uga. When Moshe was praying on behalf of his sister Miriam to be cured from Tzarat, he also fashioned for himself an uga. Chavakuk is going to fashion for himself an uga. So why is Choni going to be unique in being called the Ma'agil? And not only that, but generally, we don't call people names because of a one-time event that took place. Choni's only going to draw this one circle, apparently. For this, he should be called Ma'agil. Not only that, we're going to see this Ma'agil isn't powerful in and of itself and doesn't have any intrinsic magical powers. The circle isn't going to bring the rain. It's going to be Choni's statement, Choni's rain dance that brings the rain. The circle is really just the method of him separating himself from the people around him. The circle is a way of drawing some type of mechitza, some type of barrier to enclose him off from the rest of the world. For this is going to be called Ma'agil. Therefore, we find that many of those who study Lashon Chachamim today, and especially the etymology of the names offered the Tanaim, note that most Tanaim are afforded names based on their occupation, and Choni is no exception. A Ma'agil, we know from other sugyot throughout Shas, was actually some type of roofing material, some type of roofing equipment. A Ma'agil is used throughout Shas as a Ma'agila. A Ma'agila was either a type of avodah, a certain type of action where one would be ma'agel evin. One would roll a big rock over one's roof in order to ensure that rains would not fall through the roof. Others maintain The ma'agil is actually some type of tarring tool that was used to tar the roof. Whatever the case may be, choni ha-ma'agil is none other than a roofer. He is someone who's going to make sure, before the rainy season begins, that not only will the rain not fall through the rooftop, but during those times, as we know from the Arab homes built today, the roofs were completely flat as a means of collecting rain so that one's roof could also serve as a reservoir. And as such, choni would ensure that the rains would be collected on top of the roof. This only sensitizes us to Choni's personality all the more. He's one who earns a livelihood from the rain. He's one who anticipates the rain and awaits the rain on an annual basis. And not only that, but we know from the parallel sugya in the Mishnah Ta'anit, Choni, very soon after, when he's asked to pray for rain, is going to say, quickly, Tzu'u v'haknisu tanurei pesachim. Bring the clay ovens that are used to preparing matzot, bring those inside. Choni is one who is very sensitive to one's homes, one's possessions getting ruined due to the rain, which also is going to place us in a certain type of climactic setting. We're talking about the time of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Here, this is a critical date for Am Yisrael. Not only critical in that they need the water, not only critical for the vegetation to have one last chance of survival for the upcoming year, but also because this is 2 weeks before the Aliyah LaRegel, during the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, for Pesach. This is a time that multitudes, that majority of Am Yisrael is going to be present in Yerushalayim at the same time, everyone sacrificing their Karban Pesach. And Choni, together with the rest of Chachamim, understand that we're talking about a desperate time. This is a time that thousands of people are going to be in Yerushalayim, and he's going to have to daven for Gishmei Borot Usichin. Hashem, you have to fill up those Borot. We need reservoirs of water. We need enough water to provide for thousands of people in Yerushalayim. We're not just talking about survival. We're talking about kiyum mitzvah. We need the availability for water so that people can fulfill the mitzvah of Aliyah LaRegel. If they hear that there's a water shortage in Yerushalayim, who's going to come to take showers? Who's going to come to prepare for the Aliyah LaRegel? And as such, appreciating both his profession and certainly his anticipation in terms of the time of the year, we appreciate the story all the more. What is asked of Choni HaMa'agel? What is asked of this roofer, who also, interestingly, is only called by his first name? We know that Tanaim, generally, are afforded the title of Rav, or Rebbe. It's especially the greater the Rav, the more he's called the Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Meir. And as we go through the Amoraim, there we find the title Rav. And if an Amora is truly great, someone like Shmuel, then we only call him by his first name. But this is the time period of the Tanaim. This is the time of Rav Shimon ben Shetach. This is the time, and we know, 150 years before Churban Bayit Sheni. Choni HaMa'agel should be called Rebbe Choni HaMa'agel, as strange as that may sound. And yet he's only called Choni, which gives us a sense that maybe he's not a Tana. Maybe he's not a Talmid Chacham. Maybe he's not one who actually sits as a member of the Sanhedrin. Maybe he is a roofer by trade. And therefore, Chazal look at the story as one of the stories that we're going to see now as Ma'aseh Anshei HaChasidim. He's an Ish Chasid, not Chasid in the conventional term as we use today, and as much as a Chasid, someone who acts Lifnim Mishurat Hadin, which has numerous connotations. Not only one who obeys supererogatory law, but one who doesn't work with the confines or the laws of nature. One who is going to go beyond that. That is Choni HaMa'agel. He is an Ish Chasid. He is known by his personal name and not necessarily by his knowledge of Torah. Tanu Rabbanan. Pa'am achat yatsa rov adar v'lo yardu kshamim. It's already Pesach season and the kshamim have not come. We know that this is after the three technical stages of halacha. Three fasts rising from intensity from one to the other have already taken place. No rains or not sufficient rains. Shachu l'choni hama'agel. So they're going to send to Choni, who's also waiting outside, waiting for those rains to come. He's not earning a living this year. No roofs to tar. Hit pap tit palel v'yardu g'shamim. So they tell Choni, we're in a desperate situation right now. You must daven for us that the rains will come. Hit palel v'lo yardu g'shamim. Choni davened, and the rains didn't come. And it's almost as if we have to read it with that tone. Choni knew that it wouldn't rain. You think he didn't try to daven beforehand? You don't think anyone prayed before? You don't think there was a common or some type of public institution of tefillah? Everyone going to the Beit HaMikdash? Of course there was. Choni knows that tefillah isn't going to work, but he's going to try what the Chachamim ask him, which is, come on, try the conventional means. Try tefillah. Use the system of halacha in order to bring rain. And Choni says, okay, I'll do this. But sure enough, no rain. So instead, Choni is going to perform his famous rain dance. Don't try this at home. Av Uga. Choni takes a stick and is going to create a 360-degree circumference. He creates a circle around himself, Va'amal Bitocha. This is his way of saying, okay, I am not going to now work together with the norms of society. I am not going to confine myself to the rubric of halakha. Rather, I'm going to do things my own way. I'm going to enclose myself in a circle. I'm going to cut myself off, not only from you, the rest of society, but from the systems that have been incorporated, or really imposed upon society, known as halakha. Instead, Amad B'tocha, he stands alone, Kederach Sha'asa Chavakuk HaNavi. This is Choni's way of saying, I'm not like you. I am not going to incorporate the standard mechanism of the Tana'im. I'm not going to use Masechet Ta'anit. I'm not going to use Tefillah. I'm not going to use Ta'anit. I'm going to perform a rain dance, just like Chavakuk HaNavi. Choni isn't a Tana. He's an Ish Chassid. He sees himself more than anyone else as a Navi. He sees himself as living during the time of the prophets. We know this time that has already waned 300 years before Choni. And Chazal do this very often. By building off of biblical characters, they want to not only associate the character of one biblical personality with a Talmudic personality, in as much as telling us the Talmudic personality actually sees or justifies himself based on the biblical precedent that was established. And sure enough, Choni HaMa'agel then says, Habakkuk HaNavi did this, the Tanam say, Shene'emar, Al Mishmarti Emoda V'Tiyatzva Al Matzor. When Hashem told him about the long galut that would take place, right after the end of the Assyrian exile, Hashem comes to Habakkuk and he says, I hate to tell you this, but right after the Assyrians leave, the Babylonians are going to come and the galut is going to begin all over again. And Habakkuk says, enough is enough! Lama tafuk Toratecha, Hashem, why do you want the Torah to be weakened? Why do you want people to stop being frum? Stop all the suffering. And I'm not going to leave, he says, Am Shmati Emoda. I'm going to stay here on my watch post in Yerushalayim until you come and give me an answer. Generally, when I teach Treyasar, and I tell people that it's important to remember the major themes of the Nevi'im, I call Habakkuk the Navi with chutzpah. Right? It's hard to call him anything else. And Choni is none other than the same type of Navi, the same type of personality, incorporating this very audacious terminology in front of Hashem. I am not leaving, he says. Amar lefanav, ribono shel olam, banecha samu panai aleihem, pneihem alai. Your children have been looking towards me. Shani kiven bayit lefanecha. Hashem, I have a great relationship with you. Right? We know each other quite well. Nishba ani b'shimcha hagadol. I swear in your name. And therefore, I swear b'shem Hashem that I am not going to leave the circle until you have mercy. And that's it. Now generally we know, and for all the parents here in the room, if your child would do this and say, I am not leaving my room until you give me what I want, not only would we certainly qualify that child as chutzpahdik, but we would ignore that child altogether. Right, we would teach that child, whether it's Adler's approach of not engaging in a power struggle, whether it's a gendonta or how to talk so your children will listen, we will talk with silence until they understand that this isn't the proper method to employ as one is trying to get something from one's parent. But note that Choni is going to use this, and he's going to get exactly what he wants. Sure enough, right after he says this, Hetzchilu Gishamim Menatzvim. The rain started to sprinkle a little drizzle in the air. Amulo Talmidav. His Talmidim responded to him. And here we get a sense of a dialogue that's taking place. He's in his circle. The Talmidim are the ones who are observing the world around. He's in his own closed-off world, and they have to report to him, Rebbe, you know what's going on right now? Rebbe, Rianucha velo namut. We want to see you, but we don't want to die. Meaning, this isn't good enough right now. Kimdumim anu she'en g'shamim yordim ela lahatir shvuatcha. It seems that the rains are only coming in order to absolve your oath. Hashem is just trying to be Yotzei in the smallest way possible. Amen. So Kol Nidre turns back to Hashem and says, Lo kach sha'alti. Hashem, this isn't what I asked for. Ela gishmei borot, sichin uma'arot. It's almost Pesach time. We need these reservoirs full of water. Where are the waters to fill up all the borot? So sure enough, yardu b'za'ah. Now the rain started coming down in thunder, with anger, at shekol tipa v'tipa kemalei pi chavit, until every drop of rain was the size of the mouth of a jug. V'shiyaru chachamim shein tipa p'chuta milug. Someone said, Chazal, we're actually sitting with our measuring sticks, noting this is terrible rain, this is hurricane, this is going to destroy whatever crops have potential. Amru lo tamidav, Rebbe, riyanucha v'lo namut, we're coming to report the weather to you, and it doesn't look very nice outside. These are stormy rains that are coming to destroy the world. Amar lefanav. So once again, Choni retreats and he says, Lo kach sha'alti, ela gishmei ratzon, bracha unidava. Hashem, I didn't ask for this either. I asked for nice rain. Give me what I want. The chutzpah is only getting worse here. As this aggravates, sure enough, yardu kitiknan. Now all of a sudden, the rains are going to come as they should. The perfect rain. Ad she'alu kol ha'am lahar habayit mipnei hakshamim. Until they all went to Har Habayit to seek protection from the rains. We know that on Har Habayit we have the roofed areas surrounding the chatzer of the Beit HaMikdash. But this whole episode seems a little strange. Not only is Choni here going to act as Chavakuk, not only is he going to be similar to a Navi, not only is he going to address Hashem in a very automatic, arrogant fashion, asking Hashem, okay, I asked for this, I want it, and I want it now, but he gets it. And what's strange is that the Talmidim around him are really going to be the ones who are reporting to him the progression of everything going on, and he's in his own world at the same time. What's also strange is that they all go up to Har Habayit. Even the terminology, Har Habayit, this isn't the term that we find in the Mishnah during Tzkupa Bayit Sheni. Generally, you would go to the Mikdash. You go to the place of the Karbanot. No, they all went to Har Habayit. And if they're really seeking to escape or to find shelter from the rains, and the lower areas are all flooded, then they should go to a very high area. We know that Har Habayit is not a very appropriate place to go during a time of rains in the sense that, firstly, the Therapeutic Valley lies to one side, the Kidron Valley is on the other side. Just to get to Har Habayit, you have to be flooded by waters. Secondly, if they really want to go to a high area, Har Habayit isn't the place to go. There are many taller mountains, even in the Yerushalayim area, and certainly, if we want to escape, then we'll go to the north. We'll go somewhere to the Har HaKarmel regions, somewhere where the mountains certainly have a higher altitude. Here we get a sense they're not just going geographically to Har Habayit. They are going to go in a somewhat, here we get a sense of the chronology. Here they're going to go back to the time period of Har Habayit. Here we find the anachronistic sense incorporated by Choni HaMa'agil. We're not living during the time of the time of Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim. We no longer have to submit ourselves to the rubric of Halacha. We're living during the time of the Beit HaMikdash. We're living during the time of Har Habayit. We're living during the time when we can go and expect an immediate answer from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that when Shlomo HaMelech inaugurated the first Beit HaMikdash, one of the three requests that he had from Hashem is that the Beit HaMikdash should serve as a source for Hashem's answering for rain, specifically for Geshem. And therefore, Chazal, and here the people who are living during the time of Choni, understand, let's go to Har Habayit. Let's go, let's reassociate ourselves with that significance of Har Habayit, with the Beit HaMikdash HaRishon significance. We're living during the time of Nevi'im, we're living during a time of automatic responses. We don't need the gradual mechanism of Halacha. This seems to be what Choni is promoting. And with this we continue. When they go to Har Habayit, Miknei Shamim, Amulo, then they turn to Choni and they say, Rebbe, Kishem Shikpalata Sheyardu Kachit Palel Ve'yachulahem. Ah, Choni, thank you very much for the rain, but now that it's here, we want it to be gone. It's too much now. Amar lehem, kach mekublani. But I know from tradition, she'en mekalalim arof hatova. You're not supposed to daven when things are too good. Af al pichem, hediyo lo par hoda'a. Nonetheless, they brought him a par hoda'a in the form of a karban shlamim. Hediyo lo par hoda'a, samach she'yadav alav. Again, we're going back to the worshipping of karbanot. In a very anachronistic form, Choni is taking the entire generation back to the automatic responses, the direct ADSL communication line between a Navi and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the meantime, we don't hear any response from Sanhedrin. We don't hear any response from the halachic system. He places his two hands on the parv, Amar lefanav ribono shel olam, Am chai Yisrael, and listen carefully to the words that he uses. Am chai Yisrael shel hotzeitam mimitzrayim, the nation of Israel that you took out of Mitzrayim. Notice that this is already over 1,000 years since Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Who talks or who refers to Am Yisrael as the nation that Hashem took out of Mitzrayim? Only Nevi'im. That's right, early Nevi'im. But Choni sees himself as an early Navi. Oh, Am Yisrael that you took out of Mitzrayim not too long ago. Einan yecholim lo baruch tova v'lo baruch paranot. Apparently they can't tolerate too much good or too much bad. And therefore, ka'asta aleihem, when you're angry, einan yecholin la'amod. They can't survive that. Hishpat aleihem tova, einan yecholin la'amod. You give them too much good, they also can't survive. Yihi ratzon lefanecha, sheyafsiku hagshamim, v'yehei revach ba'olam. Hashem, please, on behalf of Am Yisrael, again, in a very automatic, directive fashion, he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, stop the rains. Miyad! Automatically. Nashva haruach v'nitpazru ha'abim. The winds came, the clouds cleared, v'zarcha hachama, the sun shone, v'yatzu ha'am l'sadeh, v'yiriyo lehem k'mahim u'kitriyo. They bring the truffles and the mushrooms. This seems to be the end of the story, and they lived happily ever after. And yet, Chazal say, no, the story doesn't end here. And if we look at the sugya as a very structured sugya, and especially within the worlds of Agadita, we know that there's a very specific storyline, a very specific structure to narrative that's always employed, even in the Gemara. And we find that just as the story began with Maaseh Sheshalchu L'choni HaMa'agel, the end of the story is going to begin with Shalach Lo Shimon Ben Shetach. Choni doesn't get the last word. Shimon Ben Shetach, the Nasi of the Sanhedrin at the time, he's going to be the one to now respond to what's happened with the same words with which the story began, with a shlichut, with a message. And this time, the Lashon Yachid. The Nasi is going to respond. The head of the halachic system. The one who incorporated the various rules of tefillah and ta'anit. When we don't have rain, we don't just start performing a rain dance in front of Hashem. We don't draw circles. We don't run to Harabayit. We don't bring karbanot shlamim. Rather, we fast, we daven. Here, Shalach lo Shimon ben Shetach, and he says, Ilmalei choni ata. Had you not been choni, gozrani alecha nidui. I, as the Nasi, would place you under cherem. I would excommunicate you from society, which has numerous halachic ramifications and certainly social isolation. Choni, I can't believe you did what you just did. You deserve to be severely punished for this. Now we have to remember that Shimon ben Shetach is also living during a time where there is a tremendous proliferation of magic. Chazal tell us that he killed 80 women in Ashkelon, suspecting them for being witches. Shimon ben Shetach is very wary of different approaches that seem to veer off from the world of halacha. So notice that he could easily punish Choni in a severe way, and he says, you know what, I'm not going to do it. Which gives us the impression on one hand that he understands that what Choni did clearly wasn't sorcery, it wasn't magic, it's not an Isser d'Oraita. At the same time, he definitely is not going to condone what Choni did either. And he says, Sh'ilu shanim kishnei Eliyahu. If we were living during the time of Eliyahu, Shamatichot v'shamim biyado, who holds the keys to the rain, biyado shel Eliyahu, lo nimsa shein shamayim mitzchalel al yadecha. If you were really Eliyahu, or in other words, if we were living during the time of Eliyahu, then you wouldn't have caused the Chilul Hashem. What clearly is implied in his words is, you have caused the Chilul Hashem. I won't place you in Idoi, but I certainly condemn your actions. And this is the last word that we find within the rubric here of Halacha is told to us. Interestingly, he firstly says, if we were living during the time of Eliyahu, things would be different. Choni, you have to appreciate that we're not living during the times of Nevuah. This is a different time. This is a time where we don't have that automatic relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we have to use tefillah and ta'anit, where we need a system of halacha in order to first express our relationship with Hashem, and Hashem today responds to us that way. We're no longer living during a time of Nevi'im, where the Navi tells us exactly what's going on, what we're doing wrong, and how we can somehow repair that relationship with Hashem. And we know that Chazal tell us that Hashem is really the key holder For the Maftechot in Sanhedrin, Davkuf Gimel, Shalosh Maftechot, Lonim Saru, Lishaliach. There are three Maftechot that cannot be performed through a messenger, Shal Chaya, of birth, Vishal Gishamim, of reigns, Vishal Chayat HaMetim. But the Mishnah there continues, Uvachozot Nimsar Mafteach Gishamim LeEliyahu. Eliyahu was one of a kind. He was able to control the rain. He was able, and Hashem played along with his decree, let there not be rain for 3 years. Let there not be rain in Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem has to send him back to Ahav in order to bring the rain 3 years later. Giving us a sense that Shimon ben Shetach says, Eliyahu himself was an exception. You're not an additional exception. And Eliyahu was living during a very specific time. And Eliyahu incorporated, we know, at Har HaKarmel, Ahura At Sha'ah. You don't have that right. You're not the head of the Sanhedrin, Honi. What do you think you're doing? And whether you like it or not, even though Hashem answered you, you still caused a chilul Hashem. Imagine, had Hashem not answered you, you swore in his name, and had Hashem not responded with rainfall, mitchalel sheshamayim al yadecha, you would have had performed a shvuat shav. Shame on you, but even this way, he says, this is also a chilul Hashem. You think that this is the way of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we dance in front of God and Hashem gives us whatever we want? We can be audacious and arrogant enough to stand in front of Hashem and say, we want that automatic response? Shame on you, Zimi. And therefore he continues, Aval ma'aselah, with all my rebuke, with all of my critique, what am I going to do? Because after all, whether I like it or not, Hashem listens. You misbehave in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's not embarrassed to say that. This was clearly a misdemeanor performed in front of God. But, what can I do? Hashem does what you want. Like a spoiled child who misbehaves in front of the father, and the father, nonetheless, is going to open the door and give the child a lollipop when he stomps. Va'omer lo, Abba, holicheni, rachatini bechamin, shtafeni betzonein. Daddy, take me to the bathhouses, wash me with hot water, then rinse me off with cold water, tini egozim, shkidim, afarsekim. Let's translate that into give me licorice and chocolate and candy bars. Virimoni benotelo, and he gives him. Va'alecha chatzuv omer. And this, sure enough, is what we find then, is referred to, yismach avicha ve'imecha v'tagel yoladetecha, tanu rabbanan, Ma shalchu banai lishkat hagazil lechoni hama'agel v'tigzor omer v'yakim lecha v'al brachacha noga or v'tigzor omer atah gazarti milamata v'akadosh baruch hu mechayim amarecha milamala. What can we do? Hashem is happy with you no matter what. What can we do when there are terrible decrees from milamata? From underneath here you change, you affect what goes on milamala. Shimon ben Shetach notice gets the last word. And the last word is shame on you, Choni. I can't do anything because my hands are tied because in the end you saved us. You gave us the rain. We have rains now for Pesach. We have rains now that will help the vegetation for the upcoming harvest. But Choni, let it not be understood that this is going to be commonplace. Let this not be accepted now within the framework of Jewish action and responding to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here we find that on one hand, Chazal are telling us, Shimon ben Shetach, the head of the Sanhedrin, the halachic representative at the time, says, don't do this! On the other hand, it's found in the Masechet Ta'anit. It's found within the framework of halacha. This is a discussion that was recorded within the walls of the Beit Midrash. This is an episode that's recounted and preserved within the Sifrut, within the literature of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Chazal are basically telling us that this should not be the system of halacha. Shimon ben Shetach's statement is the last statement, the last word, and the accepted agreement within Chazal at the time, we don't do this. On the other hand, it's important to see that a story did take place, and that maybe there is room within Judaism for a rain dance every once in a while. We're going to continue for a moment just to explore the personality of Choni HaMa'agel and to appreciate the tension that exists, certainly during the time of Tkufat Bayecheni, the transition from a world of nivuah to a world of halacha, and how we can incorporate that in our own lifestyles today. We take a look then, and we understand that the sugya, on one hand, appeals to so many of us because it has both halachic and philosophical conclusions. From a halachic perspective, it deals with how do we incorporate choni into the halachot of taniyot. And Shimon ben Shetach says, you don't. It's as simple as that. Don't do this. And yet, this spontaneous expression, which on one hand seems to be the result of helplessness, at times allows for this to take place. And yet we also have the philosophical ramifications. How about this magic that seems to be incorporated? Does this affect our ideological, spiritual world? Shimon ben Shetach says, yes. There isn't room for this, and yet, at times, Hashem does seem to respond. Choni HaMa'agel seems to be a personality who lives not only in an anachronistic fashion during the time of Nevuah, but is used to this automatic response, anticipates that Hashem will respond to him immediately. As we continue then with the next story, we know the famous Rip Van Winkle story, which we see, again, the story begins actually in the non-bolded paragraph, two lines from the bottom there, towards the end, Amar Rav Yochanan, and two lines after what we just finished. Amar Rav Yochanan, if we're already speaking about Choni, let me tell you a little bit about Choni. Kol yamav shel oto tzadik haya mitzta'er al mikra zeh. His entire life, he was upset about a pasuk, famous pasuk that we recite, Shir HaMa'alot B'Shuv Hashem et Shivat Zion Hayinu Kachomim. As we praise Hashem for witnessing Shivat Zion, the return of Zion, says we were like dreamers. And Choni is bothered by this. Amar, mi ika, zanayim shivim shanim b'chalma? How could this be that one dreams for 70 years? That as one is witnessing an event, it's as if he's in a state of a dream for 70 years? Why can't Choni understand this? Why can't Choni understand that one could be dreaming for 70 years? Or in other words, he couldn't understand the statement. And one has to remember that he's living 150 years before the Churban. And when he hears the idea of Shir HaMa'alot B'Shuv Hashem et Shivat Zion Hayinu Kachomim, that during the time of Shivat Zion, we're going to be like dreamers. But again, 70 years, we're going to be like dreamers. How can we be like dreamers during an entire process? In other words, Choni doesn't understand the nature of a process. How could it be that we are in Eastern Europe, and then, again, over years and years and years and years, we finally have a state in Eretz Yisrael? He doesn't understand this process, because we're already somewhat familiar with Choni. Choni demands an automatic, spontaneous response. Choni anticipates an immediate reaction by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Choni is a Navi. Choni has that direct line with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and doesn't appreciate the gradual effects that maybe employing halacha can have on our society. Until one day, Yoma Chadhave Azol Ba'orcha, he's walking on the path Chaze Lahul Gabra, the Have Nata Charuva. He sees a man who is planting a carrot tree. Amar Lei, Hai, Ad Kama Shanim Tatim. How long is it going to take until this carrot tree bears fruit? Amar Lei, Ad Shivim Shanim. Everyone knows a carrot tree takes 70 years. Amar Lei, Shitalach, the Chai Shivim Shanim. Is it so Pashut that you're going to live for 70 more years and enjoy the fruit? Amar Lei, Hai, Gabra Amma Bacharuva Shkachune. Says, well, I'm now eating and the fruit, as he says, that Heche Deshakli Li Avatai, that my own forefathers planted for me, Shakli Nami Labarai. And now I am planting him, not for me, but for my children. Yatzivka Karach Rifta Atale Shenata. He took some bread and fell asleep. Nim, Anna is going to sleep, as we're going to see, for 70 years. Hadrele Mishinute. And then when he gets up, he kasei maine v'nim shivim shana. Ki kam chazei lahu gavra. When he wakes up after 70 years, he sees a man. Dahavi kamalaket minayhu. That is picking from the fruits of the same tree. Amarle, atu deshatalte. Are you the same man who planted this tree? And the response, as we know, Amarle, barbere ane. I am the grandson of that man. Amarle, shmamina, denami shivim shanim. It must be that I've slept the 70 years that it took for this plant to bear fruit. Chaze lechamei dat yildei leivamchei. And sure enough, here as he sees the children, not only of the fruit, he also goes back and he finds that his own chamor, his own donkey, has also given birth to grandchildren, to a whole herd. Ramchei azili veite. So once he's seen that this manifests itself in the plant life and in the animal life, he goes back to human society as well. He returns to his home. Amar lehu, v'rei de Choni HaMa'agel mikayim, is the son of Choni HaMa'agel still alive? Amar lehu, v'rei lite, his son isn't, v'rei ita, but his grandson is. Amar lehu, but then he says, guess what? Anna Choni HaMa'agel, I am Choni, lo hinuhan, but no one believed him. Azel the Beit HaMidrash. So he goes to the other side. He goes to the Beit HaMidrash. Now notice that generally, within the stories of Tanaim, whenever we find that they leave outside of their home, the first place that they always go back to is the Beit HaMidrash, not Choni. He goes home. Choni isn't a Beit HaMidrash personality in total. As we mentioned from the very beginning, he is Choni HaMa'agil. He is going to be connected more to the grassroots, to that natural relationship. And as such, he only later goes back to the Beit HaMidrash, and he says, as he comes in, he hears them saying, L'Rabbanan Zekamri, Nihirin Shmatinan, Kibishnei Choni HaMa'agil. Oh, this learning is so clear to me, as if I'm living during the times of Choni HaMa'agil. Dechei Havei'el LeBeit HaMidrasha, Kokushia Dehavei'le L'Rabbanan Havei Mefarek Lehu. Because Choni, whenever he would go into the Beit HaMidrash, would answer all the questions that Chachamim had. Amar lehu, Anna nihu, I am Choni. Lohim nui, v'lo avdele, yikra kedim v'ayle, chalashdate, v'ay rachamei v'mit. No one believed him, and as such he turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because no one would recognize him as Choni, and he asked Hashem to have rachamim, and he died. Amar Rava, haynu da'ami inshi, o chavuta o mituta. This is one of the stories of which the adage is told, give me either a chavuta, someone whom I can learn with, someone whom I can relate to, or give me death. The tragic end to Choni HaMa'agil. To Choni, who expects people not only to recognize him, but who expects to live in a certain generation and to see the response. Choni, who expects also to be recognized as someone who lives on his own within a circle. And Choni, who doesn't get that credit towards the end of his life. Choni, who simply doesn't appreciate a process, doesn't understand how a process that begins in Cheshvan can continue all the way to Nisan. How we have to first incorporate Tfilah and Ta'anit before we stand and we approach Hashem with the rain dance. Interestingly, we're going to briefly see the stories of two of his grandsons to better appreciate this, to appreciate the difference between city mouse and country mouse, to appreciate the difference of lifestyles, to appreciate the different forms of avodat Hashem. The country mouse, whom we all know, lives within a very natural state, lives with his simplistic needs, lives and off of whatever he can find that day. And when he goes to visit his cousin, the city mouse, he's completely lost. He doesn't understand how one can enjoy the noise, how one can enjoy living in holes, how one can enjoy storing things up so that he'll make sure to have something for the next day. But city mouse tries to go and enjoy country mouse's lifestyle and also has a hard time. He doesn't understand the strange ways of the country. As we find Choni then, who seems to be altogether different than his contemporaries in the Sanhedrin. Choni is different than Shimon ben Shetach. Choni is different than all those who are sending him messages. Choni sees himself within his own circle. And as the next story of his grandson is going to be told to us, just very quickly, of Abba Chulkia. Abba Chulkia is also visited by Chachamim. He's also visited in a place none other than the field. He's the country mouse, whom Chazal, whom the Chachamim notice, are doing very strange things. He doesn't greet them when they come. He doesn't invite them to come with him. He carries wood on one side and his cloak on the other side. He doesn't wear shoes until he gets to a stream of water, and only then does he put his shoes on. When he gets to thorns, that's when he picks his pants up. When he's approaching his house, his wife, who's supposed to be Tsanua, comes out bedecked with jewelry. And then when it's time to enter the house, he doesn't even offer the Chachamim to enter the house. He lets his wife enter first. And then they go up to sit down for bread. He doesn't even invite the Chachamim to sit down. And when it's time to distribute the food, he gives his older son one slice of bread and the youngest son two slices of bread. And then when he goes up to daven for the rain, he and his wife daven on opposite sides of the roof. And sure enough, the clouds are going to begin to form specifically by his wife's corner. Chachamim are very puzzled, and even though he's able to bring rain, Chazal say, what were all these strange acts? And he explains each one, which basically tells us that he really is an ish chassid. He didn't want to invite them for bread because he knew that he didn't have enough bread, and why should they be insulted? He let his wife go in first because these are strangers and it's not tsanua to leave her outside. His wife comes out bedecked with jewelry because she doesn't want him to look at other women. And his wife's corner is answered first because she gives food directly to the aniyim, whereas he can only provide for a secondhand means through financially giving them some provision in the form of money. And here we get a sense not only that Chachamim really don't understand this lifestyle, and they don't understand the spontaneous way in which Abba Chulkia lives, that he's able to go up to the rooftop, and just like his grandfather, the rains come immediately with his tefillah. Here we get a sense of the city mouse and the country mouse, of the tefillot versus the rain dance, of the different methods of avodat Hashem, the common, the accepted, the rubric of halacha, which has already been the form of avodat Hashem in Jewish society, and the spontaneous rain dances that seem to work under extenuating circumstances. The last of the stories that we find on the second page, four lines from the bottom, Chana Hanachba Bar Barte Dechoni Hama'agil. The last of the stories which is told is that of Hanan Hanachbe, who is also a grandson of Choni Hama'agil, the son of his daughter. And here, Ki Mitzvareich Alma Lemetre, sure enough, in accordance with the tradition of the family, when society needed rain, Havul Mishadre Rabbanan Yanuko Dve, they would go out and ask the Yanuke, the young children, to go, Dve Rab Lagabe, they would go and hold on to the coats of Hanan Hanachbe and beg and say, please, Bishupule Galne, as they held on to the corners of his cloak, Amrele, Abba, Abba, Havlan Mitra, little Abba, Abba, give us matar, give us rain. Amar Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he returned to Hashem and said, Ribono Shel Olam, Asei Bishvil Elu She'in Makirim Ben Abba Dihav Mitra La Abba Delo Yahav Mitra. Hashem, please give rain for the children who call me Abba, and they don't, and they can't distinguish between the father who gives them rain, and the father, namely me, who can't really give them rain. Here we get a sense. Ava Chachamim, who already know that Baruch Hashem, there are people out there in society. There are Choni Hamagels, there are Abba Chokias, and there are Chanan Hanachbes, who know how to bring rain through, at times, the non-conformist ways of bringing rain. Through rain dances, instead of just through tefillah. And Chazal tell us why is it called Chanan Hanachba? Rashi understands, because Machbi Atzmo Bebeit Hakiseh. He would go actually to daven in strange places. He didn't even want people to know that he's the one responsible for bringing rain. On one hand, as we analyze the sugya, we certainly have a view of Choni Hama'agil, of his lifestyle, of what Chazal are clearly incorporating within Masechet Ta'anit as a viable method of Avodat Hashem. Not the accepted one, not the one that we expect or even want to be mainstream within Jewish society, but one that certainly is there, and one that continues with his grandchildren. But notice, even as we look at his grandchildren, and they're all country mice in their own way, all live on the outskirts of society. Choni in his circle, Abba Choki on his field with his strange minhagim, Chanan Hanachba in the Beit Hakisei, all of them seem to be somewhat hermits from society, and yet, at the same time as we see the transition, Choni performs a rain dance, Abba Choki a little bit less, at least he's a farmer in the field, and Hanan Hanachba seems to be one who at least can relate to the children of society. We find that slowly but surely, even the rain dances are becoming less drastic. There seems to be some type of deterioration even within the drastic methods that are applied by the Anshei HaMa'aseh, by these Hasidim who use their actions, who use their dances, who use their spontaneous expressions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to the formal method of tefillah. So much so that in Josephus Flavius and Kadmoniot HaYehudim, Chazal tell us, or there, Yosef ben Matityahu tells us, no, I have a different version of the way that Choni Hama'agil died. Choni Hama'agil was viewed during his time period as someone who answered their pleas for rain. And Shimon ben Shetach wanted to make it clear. On one hand, he's not a magician. On the other hand, you can't accept him fully within the rubric of halakha. On one hand, what he did worked. On the other hand, we clearly saw that it didn't work 100% right away. Here, the sugya itself tells us, Choni's rain dance is fine, but know that Hashem really is in charge. Note that Choni has to demand these things of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but started as a drizzle, and then it became a thunderstorm. Hashem is really in charge of the rain, but it's okay. Choni is the one that allowed for the rain ultimately to come. But years later, Josephus Fabius tells us that what happened, Choni HaMa'agil was perceived indeed as a magician. And when Aristobulus and Horkunus, as we know, the famous brothers who debated, and who had a constant struggle with the Roman Empire with regard to control of Yerushalayim, the upper city and the lower city, Horkunus asked Choni HaMa'agil, Hikifu Otam HaRisha'im, they asked Choni to daven for the death of Aristobulus. So Choni in front of them, once again, separates himself, Ag Uga. He separates himself, and he turns to Hashem and says, Hashem, this isn't what I'm here for. I'm not a magician. He says, Hashem, I don't want you to answer them, the group of Horkunus, and I don't want you to listen to them, the group of Aristobulus. Don't kill them and don't kill them. Please don't turn them one against the other. And at that point, hikifu oto harusha'im, using the same terminology, Choni encircled himself with a circle, and then they make a circle around him, v'harabuhu biskila, and they stone him to death. And here, Josephus' account of the death of Choni is basically one that's coming to tell us what happened to the dmut of Choni. Not only did Choni not understand v'shuv Hashem et shivat Zion hayinu kachomim, that there is a process, but he's one who espoused the idea of this automatic, spontaneous relationship with Hashem. Josephus tells us, yes, but it had a tragic end, because people distorted this understanding of Choni. People took his form of Avodat Hashem, and they wanted that to be mainstream. So every time they needed something, they said, Choni's in control. Choni's rain dances will help us. Let Choni be responsible for killing Aristobulus. And Choni says, no, you don't understand. I was just a mechanism. My rain dance was to catalyze a response from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I may hold the keys like Eliyahu HaNavi, but Hashem is the gatekeeper. Hashem is the one who stands in front of the Arubot HaShemayim, the chimneys that hold the rain. And this is something that the people over the generations certainly did not understand. So do we incorporate Choni at all today? Within our halachic system, within the way that we relate to Hashem, which on one hand is V'hayam Shama Tishmu Al Mitzvotai, in the rainy season we understand that as a nation, we have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's ultimately our actions that will allow Hashem to respond to us. On the other hand, we also know that there are yichidim, and Chazal tell us that tzaddikim can change things around as well. When Hashem blesses Abraham, v'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachot ha'adama, Chazal explained, v'nivruchu v'cha b'shvilcha, you'll be able to bless the whole world, Abraham, through your actions. So yichidim, individuals within society, can certainly do something. And here Chazal tell us, we have a certain expression of this even today in the way that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we bring rains today? We still believe we can bring them through our actions. We still believe that with the correct religious decisions and even political decisions that are implemented, we can change not only the agricultural course, but we can change the way that Hashem responds to Am Yisrael in general. But the main means of doing this is accomplished through tefillah. So we take a look very quickly at Ofi HaTefillah, at the nature of tefillah. And sure enough, we find that there are different debates with regard to tefillah. Is tefillah something spontaneous? Are we allowed to incorporate what Choni did? Can it be an automatic expression in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Can we perform our own rain dance in appealing to Hashem? Or do we have to espouse, do we have to employ the method of Shimon ben Shetach? No, there's a system of halacha, and we have to abide by the system of halacha. We find that although you're probably thinking of the answer right now, we know that this is a machloket within the Gemara, within the Rishonim, and even within the Achronim. The Gemara explains in Masechet Ta'anit, in the same Masechet that deals with the halachot of tefillah and ta'anit, the rubric of halacha, Eizu li'avoda shehivalev haveomer zo tefillah. You want to know how to worship God with your heart? That's tefillah. It's a very specific type of worship. It's avoda. It's a system. And if it can't be done in the Beit HaMikdash, you worship God wherever you may be, and then Hashem will bless you. Yes, tefillah is avodah. Tefillah exists within a very specific structure. And we know that there are numerous halachot of tefillah, how we daven, when we daven. And therefore the Rambam passes in Sefer HaMitzvot, and also Mishnah Torah, that not only is tefillah avodah shabalev, a form of worship, but let's take a look at mitzvah. Hey, he shetzivanu la'abdo ukvar nechpal tivoy zeh pa'amayim. And what is this? This is tefillah. Ulavdo zo tefillah. Ulavdo can be Talmud, and it can even be Karbanot, but he says the primary way that we worship Hashem, like we worship Hashem, Bavadu b'mikdash, is through tefillah today. A very specific rubric, a structure of prayer before the Shekhinah. But we know that the Ramban disagrees. And the Ramban says not only is it not a mitzvah d'oraita, but rather it's a mitzvah d'rabanan. He explains why is that. Because tefillah is not a system. Tefillah is not avodah. It's not a formal form of worship, but rather, on the next page, v'ikar ha-katzuv u'lavdo b'chol levavchem mitzvat aseh she'etiyah kol avodotenu l'kel yitbarach b'chol levavenu. He says, don't use the pasuk u'lavdo b'chol levavchem to teach you. Ei zohi avodah shebaleg zohi tefillah. The Ramban says, no, that's a general instruction to us when we worship Hashem, no matter how we worship Hashem. If we're going to play on our derbukot at 2 o'clock in the morning on the beach, that's also a form of avodat Hashem. And when you do that, b'chol levavchem, let that be with your entire heart. And therefore, he says, the mitzvah is really avodah shalamatara nitpalel. How do we daven? When do we daven? Perform your rain dance. Be'eit hatzarot, in a spontaneous fashion. Under extenuating circumstances. That's what real tefillah is. Tefillah is not just doing what one has to do in front of the Beit HaMikdash. Tefillah is not just going to be a confined system of halakha. Tefillah is a spontaneous expression. Tefillah is what Chazal allow for Masechet Ta'anit. Yes, you can stand in front of Hashem and dance in front of Hashem. And we find that this machloket is not only a machloket amongst the Rishonim, but it's a machloket in the Gemara. If we turn back to the previous page, too, the famous machloket in Masechet Brachot, is tefillah k'neged ha'avot, or is tefillah k'neged karbanot? I'm Rav Yosef Bar Chanina, Amar tefillot avot k'num. Rav Yosef believes that tefillot, the three tefillot that we have, were established in parallel to the three tefillot that our forefathers have. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Amar tefillot k'neged tmidim t'knum. And these aren't just basic machlokot with regard to how many tefillot we have and when we daven. And the Gemara continues to tell us that the times are clearly based on the karbanot, because the times of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were general times during the day, but the machlokot is really an ideological one. With regard to what is the idea, what is the concept of tefillah? Is tefillah k'neged avot, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who all davened in a spontaneous fashion, who all approached Hashem in their own particular way? Maybe they even danced in front of Hashem. Vayifka b'makom ahu. Yaakov encountered God in that place. The avot allow for one to turn to Hashem be'et sarah, and to enter into a dialogue with Hashem. Whereas tefillah k'neged karbanot t'knum. If we say that it's k'neged karbanot, then we're saying that there's a system, and that you have to do this no matter what. And you go to the Beit HaMikdash and you offer a karban, and that's why we stand in front of Hashem when we offer our tefillah. And there are numerous halachot in certain times, and there are restrictions involved because you're standing in front of God. And sure enough, then, if we turn, and we see that throughout Shas, there are different expressions. Tzvilah, on one hand, is like the Ramban says, is k'neged avot, is tachanunim. As the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbat, as Rabbah was watching Rav Hamnuna daven, ma'arich b'tzalute, amar manich in chaye olam ba'oskin b'chaye sha'a, why are you leaving chaye olam? Why are you wasting time from real avoda, from learning Torah? And why are you involved in chayei sha'ah? Why are you just taking care of the needs, the pressing needs right now? Obviously, Rav Hamnuna felt that tefillah is a dance. That tefillah is one spontaneous expression. He can be involved in tefillah all day. He can close himself off and circle himself and basically say, I want to approach Hashem this way. But at the same time, we have plenty of mekorot, as you see, that express the idea of tefillah as amida lifnei Hashem. Not only the Rambam, who says, but the idea of not passing in front of someone who's davening, because the Dalet Amot, he's within the Dalet Amot of the Shechina, as the Torah tells us. The idea of bowing down in a specific way, having specific times, and standing in front of the Shechina, as one stands in front of a king, because this is a form of worship. This we also find the sources for. This would be what Rav Shimon ben Shetach is telling us. There isn't room for anything else. One has to be davening in front of the Shechina. And therefore we find different personalities in the Gemara. Some like Rav Hamnuna and Rabbi Akiva, who would start in one corner of the Beit Midrash davening and end up in the other one, because he believed that it was tachanunim. Let's dance in front of Hashem. There is room for spontaneous expression. But on the other hand, there are those whom you know, till today, daven like the Rambam, stand straight all along, perhaps don't even shekel at all, because you're standing in front of the Shechina, and this is a system. One has to understand that there's a time, as Shimon ben Shetach says, to submit yourself to the system and not necessarily employ the spontaneous methods. And with this, then, we take a look at the Shibboleth HaLeket at the end. When one is davening, Lefi Shamakom Shechinahu, it's a place of the Shechina, and you're supposed to recognize that you're standing in front of the Shechina. Don't be chutzpedik. Don't tell Hashem, I'm not moving until you answer me. There's a system, a very set system. And as we find in Derech Hashem, that's Chomer HaTzvilah, Asur Lafsik Baklal, Mepnei Heyov Ba'adam, Bekarvah Gedulat Elav Yitbarach. You're standing in front of the Shechina, and yet, at the same time, we know that one cannot daven lo mitoch hatzvut, v'lo mitoch hatzlut, v'lo mitoch shchok, v'lo mitoch kalut rosh, v'lo mitoch sicha, v'lo mitoch dvarim betilim, ela mitoch dvar simcha.
But on the other hand, Chazal tell us, but there's room for simcha. Nefer, how do we conclude? How do we daven? How do we worship Hashem? All we have to do is turn to Masechet Ta'anit. There's a standard. And the standard is, what Rav Shimon ben Shetach says, the standard is Tefillah and Ta'anit. We do, now that we're no longer living during the time of Nevuah, we don't have that direct manifestation of the Shekhinah in our lives. And therefore, we have to employ the methods of Chazal's interpretations of the Torah. As Malachi bids us farewell at the end of his Nevuah and says, it's going to be very hard for you. You're not going to have Nevuah anymore, but I'll tell you what you do have. Zechor Torat Moshe. You have a system of Torah. You have a system of laws. And those are going to be interpreted by the Rabbanim, within whom Hashem divests the power to interpret the law. And that's how you're going to relate to Hashem. That's what's going to define your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu today. You're going to follow Halakha. You're going to define yourselves as religious Jews by observing the mitzvot. You're going to be careful in your Avodat Hashem. You're going to stand before God three times, and you're going to see that as Avodah. The Shulchan Aruch, as you know, passages like the Rambam. Ezohi Avodah Shebalev, Zohi Tzvilah. You want to worship God? You daven b'tzvilah, b'minyan, b'beit knesset. So even if you want to stand on your head and spit nickels, even if you want to go to the beach at 2 o'clock in the morning and dance with a darbuka in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's beautiful. But make sure you wake up the next morning and make Siman Kriyat Shema Tzvilah. Make sure that you remember that there's a system of approaching Hashem. Make sure that you understand that one is meant to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Tzvilah, through Ta'anit, through Halakha. But Chazal tell us there's room for Choni HaMa'agel, Shimon ben Shetach can't deny. What can I do? Sometimes it works, but we never know that. We can't decide when it works and when it doesn't work. But there clearly is room for Choni HaMa'agel. We need a Rav Shlomo Karlbach in society. But can everyone be a Rav Shlomo? And there are people whom you know who look at Rav Shlomo and say, ah, but did he really observe halacha? That's not for us to judge. It worked. Whether we like it or not, he was makari hundreds and thousands to Judaism. But that's the exception to the rule. The rule is tefillah. The rule is Sanhedrin. The rule is halacha today. But in the Masechet Ta'anit, within the system of halacha, we have room for choni hama'agel. The city mice make room for the country mice as well. Choni hama'agel, Habachokia, and Hanan Hanachbeh, they're all there. They're all there within our rich heritage. They're all there within the halachic system. They're there in Masechet Ta'anit, and it's allowed for. And therefore, within the system of tefillah, within the rubric of tefillah, within the Shmona Esrei, within the Brachot, within Tefillah itself, Kol mi she'oseh tefillato keva eino tefillah. If your tefillah is too much amida, if it's too mechanical, if it's too robotic, then it's not a real tefillah. There's room for the Ramban, there's room for spontaneity, there's room for the expression of the Avot, there's room for a rain dance within tefillah. And to conclude, Chazal tell us, we'll prove it to you. The Midrash explains what really is the source of tefillah. The greatest of tefillot, the Amidah, which is even connoted as an Amidah, of standing in front of Hashem, of submitting ourselves before the Shekhinah. At the same time, Chazal say, well, where do we even get the idea of Shmona Esrei Brachot? An interesting dialect that takes place within the Gemara. Do we come up with the number first, or do we come up with the Bakashot first? Chazal seem to say there's some magic in the number 18. They knew, a priori, they were supposed to be 18. My problem with that? We have 19 in the end. That's okay. And here, Adam Kalos Shmona Esrei, Lama Shmona Esrei, how they come up with the magic number of 18, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Keneged Yud Chet Tzavim Sheba Mishkan. It's parallel to the 18 times that it says, Kasher Tiva Hashem Et Moshe Kein Asu. The 18 directives that Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu in which to build the Mishkan. Don't you understand? Tefillah is based on Avodah. Tefillah is based on a structure. The greatest of structures, the tabernacle, the Mishkan. That's what tefillah is. Tefillah is a halachic system where we're told specific dimensions, where we're told exactly how to shake a lulav, when to shake a lulav, where we're told how to light candles, up and down, and how many and when, and who's yotzei whom. And here we get a sense that that is the system of halacha. We show Hashem through submitting ourselves, through tefillah, through not necessarily going to Harabayit, but in our own Batei Midrash, how we can worship Hashem and how we can expect Hashem to reciprocate, whether it's in the form of rain or any other bracha. The Chazal say, I'll tell you the truth, there's another side to Tzvila. And sure enough, Rav Shimon Amar, Keneged Yudchad Mizmorim, Shebiro Sefer Tzilim, Ad Ya'amcha Hashem B'yom Tzara. We can't deny it. Look at Ta'anich Chaf Gimel. There's room for Choni HaMa'agel, there's room for circles, there's room for rain dance. There's room for that spontaneous expression, and therefore, to be honest, the Shmona Esrei Brachot could also be based on the Yudchet Mizmorim, the 18 Mizmorim, which end with Ya'ancha Hashem B'yom Tzara. Hashem, answer us B'yom Tzara. Answer our spontaneous expressions of appellations to you. And with this, we then conclude by understanding that when it comes to Avodat Hashem, and as we approach not only the season of rain in Eretz Yisrael, not only the season in which we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we wonder, how can we best appeal to you, Abinu Shebashamayim? How can we best ask from you this year as we end the time period of not only asking She'ilat or Gvurot Geshamim, but She'ilat and Bakashat Geshamim? When we begin to appeal to Hashem and we wonder, how should we appeal to Hashem? Chazal tell us, employ the system of Halakha. Make sure that you learn. Make sure that you worship Hashem. Make sure that there's a constant Amidah Lefnei Hashem. But it's okay. Within our tefillot, make sure that we're able to dance as well. Shavua Tov.